You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
So the series is called Yes. I know there's a yes and a no on the graphic, but it's just yes, and you'll understand that more today. If you missed the setup last week, we're just talking about the power of the little word yes. It's your greatest commodity. In fact, it's more valuable than whatever you've got in your retirement account right now. More valuable than that is your yes. What you choose to say yes to. When we choose to say yes to the right thing, it opens a gateway, a blessing in our lives. When we choose to say yes to the wrong thing, it opens a gateway to a gauntlet of regret in our lives. And it's not all about the he said, she said, the circumstance, the situation, the thing, the deal, the other. It's all down to your yes, and you get to choose how and when and where you use that yes. And as we do that, the yeses and the nos, the ons and the offs we talked about, we are building our life. And last week, we really just took a few minutes to talk about how our first yes, our best yes, our biggest yes, if you will, is just saying yes to God. And this is what Passion City Church is built on. Isaiah 26:8. We kicked our New Year's gathering off with this idea. Yes, Lord. This is the beginning of everything passion. So if you want to understand passion, if you're new coming in today, I can shrink a lot of it down to those two words. Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord. Yes, it folds on to walking in the way of your truth. We wait eagerly for you, for your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. So that's where we get all the glory to God and all of the bigness of the story of God. But it starts with a yes on the table. And when we say yes to God, we're saying no to a whole bunch of other gods. When we're saying yes to Him as the one true God, we're saying no to a lot of lesser gods. It's like the day you got married. Is anybody in the house currently married? Any married people in the house? Very strong over here at Cumberland today. Not knocking the single people. I know every time you ask a married question, somebody's like, oh, great. Once again, no, not married. Some of you single people are like, thankfully, not yet. And others of you are like, hopefully will happen. And I believe that it will if God wants it to. Isn't that a great answer? Don't you love that answer? But when you say, when you come to a wedding moment, it's so amazing to me because you've got showers and a dress and a bridal party and you had a rehearsal dinner and a reception and a theme. And now some of that just like has kind of overtaken the power of two human beings standing in the presence of God and in the sight of all these witnesses that have gathered together, the dearly beloved moment, and they say to each other really just two words, I do. And the vows are powerful, for better, for worse. In other words, I do to you, Jennifer, I'm just saying maybe that's your wife's name. I do to you, Shelly, when we stood there. Shelly says to you, Louie, for better or for worse, whether this goes really great or whether this is really tough, whether there's a big win or a big loss, I say I do to you. So we're not saying I do that day to a plan because no minister stands at the altar and says, hey guys, I'd like to just walk through the next 18 years really quickly with you guys. Just the major bullet points of all the things that are gonna happen in life right before you say I do to each other, because that's gonna include him losing his job two times and y'all are gonna end up living in Des Moines. So is that cool? Are you up? Are you good for that? All right, awesome. And now your wife over here, let me tell you about 4 years from now, are you good with that? Are you going to say I do to that? No, you don't say I do to the details. You say, this is my person. And I'm going with this person. And we're going through thick or thin, through, what does that say, for richer? Anybody there today? Show of hands. Okay, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, really? Really? Yes, we have property at Cumberland and we want to build a church on it. So I was just taking a little shot right there to see if anybody would like go for it. And if they did, I was going to like zero in on them real fast. Brad, look around at 5:15. I'm going to do it one more time. So we would say for richer, so maybe a lot richer. No, I'm just kidding. Or for poorer. Any of the married people in the house today been poor? Has anybody ever been poor that's married in this room right now? We can do a show of hands on that. Show of hands if you've been poor. Shelly and I have been poor. Like P-O-O-R, legitimately poor. Like I went and I don't even know if it was legal, but it was in Texas, so it probably was. And cut down a little bitty scrawny tree off a dude's land on our first Christmas. And we wrapped bows on it with ribbon. Poor. Like we're not giving any gifts, we're poor. And I said, I do to that. I didn't say I do to being poor. I really didn't say I do to being rich. I just said, I do to you, whether we're rich or whether we're poor. And I said, Shelly, I do to you whether we are in health, hello, or whether what? Or whether we are in sickness, I say yes to you. Now, we don't know the plan. We don't know the health. We don't know the sickness. We don't know the consequences, the circumstances, the challenges, the joys, the wins, the losses. But I say yes to you. So this is where we were last week, of starting with, I believe in God. I believe enough about God to say, I do to you. In sickness or in health, I say, I do to you. And that's people in our house today. For richer or for poorer, I say, I do to the Almighty God. For better or for worse, I say, I do to the Almighty God. I am not going to bail on you if it's poor for a season. I'm not going to bail on you, God, if it's harder for a season. I'm not going to bail on you if it's sickness for a season, because I believe in you. We start by saying yes to a person, not to a detailed plan. If your relationship with God is built around the idea of a detailed plan, or if I put my faith in God, I know all these things are going to happen, then your relationship with God is up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Some of you may be back at church after a long absence of being in church because the plan went south. But it wasn't God who made the plan go south. God has been constant in the equation with you and me all along. Just like the commitment that we make when we stand in that moment, we are making a commitment to Him that says, yes, Lord. How can we do that? Because He said yes to us, gave His life for us. But here's the other cool thing that happens when you're standing at that altar, and I've never seen this happen before, but it'd really be cool if it did once. When you say, I do to her, or ladies, when you say I do to him, you're also saying I don't to all the other hers on planet Earth and to all the other hims on planet Earth. We should put that in the vows. Would that not be great? I do. And to all of you jokers, I don't. All the subsequent jokers, I don't. This I do is a big I don't. This yes has a corresponding and anthemic no. And we learn in this series that yes and no always work together, and the two of them help us get where we're going in our lives. Your best yes today most likely is your no. So we start with saying yes to God. We start with saying yes to the big ideas of life. But once we get our yes to God on the table, and we get our big yes to the plans of God, moving forward in our lives, it allows us then the power to say no. And no is one of the toughest words to say in the world. Now, if you're mad, no is easy. Heck no. If you're controlling and you're trying to manage the situation, you relish your no. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. No, but no way I'm doing it. But outside of controlling and trying to manage something out of a spiteful heart or being angry or bitter and seeing no as your jabs that you've got to throw into the equation, other than that, no is a really tough customer in our world. But I believe no can be your best yes. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 4 at three powerful no's. Three no's that we should applaud today. We should celebrate and be grateful for these no's today. It says in verse 1 of Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He'd just been baptized and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, what kind of theology is that? Got baptized, that was a big moment. Filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a big moment. And now immediately the Holy Spirit says, are you ready? I'm ready. I'm baptized, I'm filled, I'm on earth, I've come from heaven, I'm 30 years old, I'm ready. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, let's go. Into the Judean wilderness. Like, no, I was like ready, I'm ready now. It's like, okay, great. Now that you're ready, let's go get ready. No, I am ready, but let's go get ready. And Jesus, before he does anything, before he does one thing, before he even pulls back the curtain and reveals who he is in this synagogue in Nazareth, he goes out into the Judean wilderness to prepare his heart for what God has called him to do. This is the missing step in the present church. We want to get baptized and filled and start our ministry all on the same day, if possible. Wow. But Jesus knew that what he was called to was big. And there was going to need to be a readiness moment, a readiness window, if you will, and it was extreme. You say, well, you know, 40 days in the Judean wilderness is pretty extreme. Well, the calling on his life was pretty extreme as well. And so here he is now out in the desert, and it says as you read along that he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now this is a verse that doesn't need to be in the Bible. Of course he was hungry. He's been 40 days with water and the Lord. And then there's been somebody else in the equation. Verse 3, the devil said to him, has that devil ever talked to anybody here today? Yeah. No. Just because you're baptized, just because you're filled, and just because you're getting ready, you are not going to be able to shut out the conversation that's coming with the devil, even if you're Jesus. So none of us should be thinking that we're going to get an easier path than he did. And so now we understand what our day-to-day is like as he's coming at us from every angle. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, this is the thing Jesus heard his whole life, then tell this stone to become bread. Now, after 40 days of no food, you're broken down. You're weak. You're hanging on to the promise of God. You're just leaning in like, I know I'm getting ready, but getting ready is not easy. And then the devil shows up, probably has just come in from Saint-Tropez, got a phenomenal tan going on, just had a haircut, looks good, and is probably holding a Chick-fil-A lemonade in one hand, and he comes down to the Son of God and says, "Hey, I thought you were the Son of God." Well, if you are, turn the rock into bread and let's have something to eat. After all, you've been out here for 40 days. And Jesus says, no. The power of that little word, nope. Oh, he expanded a little bit for your sake and mine so that we can understand how we say no. He said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. So the devil said, okay, well, I thought that would have worked, but it didn't. So good luck and congratulations on your mission, and I hope it goes really well. Awesome. See you later. No, the devil said, okay, let me try something else. Comes another way around, and he led him up to a high place. He showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to Jesus, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. That's the devil saying, I have dominion over this broken planet right now. I'm the prince of the power of the air, it said a different place in scripture. And I can give it to anyone I want to, so if you worship me, it will all be yours. So we've got a 40-day weary guy looking out over the horizon going, man, that's a lot of territory. Now we've got a promise saying, if you just worship me, I'll give it all to you. And what does Jesus say? Can you say it with me? He says, no. Nope. Not happening. And then he expands a little bit for our sakes. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we're not very far in, but can I just be pastoral for a minute? Is the enemy coming into anybody's world right now and saying, look, I know God has a big plan for you, but there's an instantaneous surface payoff available now. You should take it. Has anybody got the enemy coming through your doorways right now going, look, you see all this? You could run that. You could own that. You could be in charge of that. You could have that. I will give you all of that if you will just bow down and worship me. Me meaning money or fame or position or power or whatever it is he's packaged the me as. Yeah, see, this stuff is still going on in our lives every single day, but we got two no's going so far, but the devil didn't give up. The devil led Jesus, verse 9, to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And then he said again, if you are the Son of God, kind of digging down at what digs down at you and me. Are you a man? Are you in charge? Can you do it? Can you make a decision? I mean, like, come on. Kind of digging down at his ability to make these kinds of yes and no choices. He says, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here, for it is written. And then the devil quotes scripture to the word made flesh. Wow. Crazy. A, the devil is stupid. B, the devil is smart. A, you do not quote the word of God to the word made flesh. But B, you can take some people out by twisting the word of God to them. And I'm telling you, the devil knows the Bible better than most all Christians. And he's pulling out Old Testament on Jesus. It is written. I got the first two times you said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you should worship and serve the Lord your God only. So then the devil said, I'm going to try that this time. It is written. Wow. Man, this is so amazing to me that we're getting like a laboratory experiment on our own lives right here. Yep. He said, oh, yeah, I know you're going to come with that it is written thing. So let me start with it is written. He, God, will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And then Jesus said, it says, let me clarify, the whole counsel of God now, not just your little proof text verse that trying to get me to build my entire response on a verse, which is never a good idea, by the way. You can't, people build whole theologies on six verses in the Bible. But the Bible is a whole counsel, it speaks about itself, of God. From beginning to end is the whole conversation. So if your six verses don't hold up from beginning to end, then don't build your life on your six verses. If your one verse that you're using to, this is my spiritual axiom, doesn't hold up through all of Scripture, then you've got the wrong axiom and the enemy was on the wrong track. And Jesus says, it says, let me clarify here, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So what was his answer? No, 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 no. His best yes on these days was no, no, no. And that can be your best yes every day, because every day you're gonna need to say no to something, and we're gonna unpack that in just a moment. But look how it ends, it's pretty crazy. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Just putting that in there. Somebody needs to underscore that today. Because you're like, I made it. And the devil said, we're going to come back later. We got past that one. The devil's like, let's mark down February the 19th, 2042. Let's come back. Not going to give up on the Son of God. He's not going to give up on you. So you've got to understand the power in your yes and in your no. But look at the payoff, verse 14. You can't stop reading too soon. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So are you ready? I'm ready. Okay, let's go get ready then. Let's go out here where we're going to understand the battle. Out here understanding the battle, we realize there are going to be a lot of opportunities to get the immediate and the surface satisfaction. And that's going to happen over and over and over and over again. And we're going to need to be ready for that kind of a challenge. And there's going to be occasions everywhere left and right to grab up short-sighted power, to think, if I can get this world, I've got everything. And there's going to be always the opportunity for the sensational to happen in my life. That is to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to roll the dice right here, but I'm just believing if I roll the dice, you're going to come through at the right time, and you're going to do A, B, and C, because I'm going to take a big leap here. And when we do that a lot of times, I'm not talking about steps of faith. I'm talking about crazy talk like, I'm going to buy this company, or I'm going to get the lottery ticket, or I'm going to put myself in a very precarious situation, but I'm going to believe because of a little one-verse proof text that you're going to come through and help me out. I'm looking to do something kind of sensational, believing that you're going to come through and put a safety net under it at the end of the day. I'm going to go out with this guy. I know it's a bad idea, but I'm trusting you're going to kind of hang in there with me and make sure everything goes okay. I'm going to get in business with these people already knowing that's a really bad idea, but I know you got me. And these are the kinds of temptations that are in our life and in our choices every single day. So there are three questions I want you to write down today. These are the three questions that are going to guide us into really carefully crafted and kind no's, okay? That's what we're looking for today. We're not looking for no devil, no devil, no devil, unless it's a devil. And then by all means, just say no devil. But if it's your coworker, be kinder about your no. You can think no devil, not that your coworker is the devil, but maybe the temptation is coming from the devil. But it's probably tomorrow not going to be one of these big guys, because we just talked about it, and the devil's smarter than that. That the no's we're probably going to need to use tomorrow are the harder no's, and those are the no's to the good things, just not God's thing. And that's the toughest no of all. So three questions I want us to think about. I want you to write these down. Number one, what is your yes? Say it a different way. What is your mission in life? If you fast forward to Luke 9:51, you can look at it later. It says Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus had a big yes. But before he ever said to you and me, "Will you put your yes on the table?" he'd already said yes. He did not leave heaven flimsy in his conviction. He did not say, "I'm going to leave the throne of heaven, enter into humanity, be born in Bethlehem, and then I'll see how it goes after that." No, he came with a full conviction. "I'm going to live a perfect life and die the perfect death for the sins of the world. I am going to Jerusalem. That's where I'm headed. I'm not going to be sidetracked anywhere on the way." So we see Luke 9:51. He set his face. I remember hearing a message when I was just a kid, and a pastor said his face was set like a flint, the hardest of stone, towards Jerusalem. And I thought, what does that look like? That kind of mission and that kind of purpose. And that's where all the no's came from. "No, I'm not going to turn these stones into bread. I'm in a testing point for a mission bigger than the world. Why would I wreck all that for a loaf of bread? No, I'm not going to bow down and worship you. I am on a mission to save humanity. I've already said yes to that." "No. Well, why don't you do something spectacular and let's just test the power of God and see how it works." "No, I am God. I've already been in the presence of God. I came from God. I'm one of God. I don't need to see God do something spectacular. I am spectacular. And I have a mission over my life." If you read the stories about people in faith and out of faith, successful people aren't always the most talented. They are not always the wealthiest. They are not always from the best family or the best school, but they all have a sense of clarity about what they want to accomplish. They are driven by the dream, by the purpose, by the goal. They start by saying yes to that outcome, and everything else has to adjust. These are the successful people. They're not cruising into Tuesday going, "We'll see how it goes." No, they're going into Tuesday going, "I know where I'm going. And so I don't know what all Tuesday's gonna have, but it's all gonna have to adjust accordingly because I have a big mission over my life." Jesus says, if you just read two more verses down, don't ever stop reading too soon. He says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Is there anybody at Passion City Church today that is grateful that Jesus did what the Spirit of the Lord was on him to do? So, no, 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 and then you and I got free. The mission was overriding the whole story. So our best yes oftentimes is a no, but we don't have good no's unless we have a yes. So I'm not asking you, what is your 40-year plan? I'm just asking, is your yes to the Lord on the table? And then do you have some smaller yeses that God has put before you that you're really committed to? And if you start with those yeses, then you're gonna be on the right track. Second question I want us to think about today is this: is your God big enough for you to say no? You're like, what do you mean by that? Well, no is a tough one because, we're living in the ultimate FOMO era. If you don't know what that is, it's fear of missing out. And FOMO and no are always at odds with each other. In a lot of different levels. I was talking to a very successful person in their field and sphere outside the church, but as a believer recently, and they have seen God come through in some circumstances and situations where they said, This is where I will probably leave the company. This is probably where I'll leave our leadership team. This is probably where I'm not going to be a majority partner. That day was the day that I knew I'm probably never, ever going to be in the C-suite in our organization. Why? Because they kept saying yes to God, and they kept saying no to the places and the spaces where the other people in their field were going, who were all going up to the top. And they said, I kept having to say, there's one last taxi ride I can't take tonight. There's one last hang gonna happen when we're in New York, and I'm not gonna be on that last one. I'm gonna be at the meeting, I'm gonna be at the dinner, I'm gonna be at the thing when we go after to meet with our clients, but I'm not gonna be at that last part. And this person said to me, every single time I would get there, I would end up getting in the taxi and going back to my hotel going, that's probably going to be where the way parts, and this is why I'm not going to be on the 17th floor. Although all those people that just went ahead of me are on the 17th floor, and I got invited to go with them tonight. And this person said to me that every time I had to remember that my God is bigger than our company, than our CEO, than our board of directors, than the field that our business is in, than planet Earth, that my God is bigger. And I'm going home every time with a God who's bigger. And if we have a puny God, it's gonna be really hard for us to say a powerful no. But if we have a powerful God, it's gonna make it possible for us to say a gracious but solid no. I'll tell you why it's difficult to say no. A few reasons. One, because our self-worth is tied up in our yeses. Thank you. We got one wow at Cumberland 515. Our yeses are so tied up in our self-worth and vice versa. Hey, do you want to do so-and-so? And we're like, no, not really, but I kind of feel like I need to because I need to feel good about myself and I don't want to face the consequences of saying no and having you possibly not like me or think I don't like you. So we end up saying yes to a bunch of stuff to make us look better in other people's eyes or because we're just afraid to be who we are in other people's eyes. But if our God is big and our God is powerful and our yes is clear, then that helps us say kindly no. We don't want to say no, I said before, because we're afraid of missing out. I was talking about big consequences and career consequences, but we're getting this down to the macro level. Like, well, the so-and-sos and the so-and-sos are going to dinner, and we could have gone to dinner, but now we're not going to dinner, so we're not in the so-and-sos and the so-and-sos anymore, and wow, I don't know, maybe we're going to miss out on something versus saying, hey, we had a yes, we had a vision. It didn't fit in with us this time to say yes to that. So we're good because we don't feel like we're going to miss out on anything because we've got a big God and a big yes on the table. How do you miss out with a big God? And then the third reason is because we're afraid of being misunderstood. I remember when I was younger, and if you're halfway decent at what you do, like if you're the best orthodontist at Passion City Church, is that anybody here? You're the very best one in Atlanta, happen to be at Passion City. Then that's awesome, but you probably also gonna take me about a month to get in to see you, right? Now, if you're janky orthodontist, like you sort of, you know, like got pliers in the room and, you know, don't see great, you know, I probably can get in tomorrow. But if you're the best orthodontist or the best whatever in Atlanta, I'm gonna call your office and go, yes, we can see you on August the 3rd. Why? Because the demand is great. So as we do what we hope to do, which is see God raise us up to be good at whatever he's called us to do in life, our passion in life, then we're gonna have to learn how to say no. When I was a younger communicator, people would call and say, hey, would you be willing to come and speak at A, B, and C? And I would just say yes, because A, I need to learn how to communicate, and if it's nine kids at a lock-in in somebody's backyard, yes, I will be there. The sessions are at 10 p.m., 2 a.m., and 4:30 a.m. right before the pancake breakfast. I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to do a three-part series. It's going to be incredible. But as time went on, every invitation came with the same general packaging. We believe the Lord wants you to be a part of this. Every time, no one ever invited me and said, we're not really sure if you're supposed to come or not. We just thought we'd throw it out there. Every time it was people who I knew and trusted saying, we really believe the Lord wants you to be a part of this. We've prayed about it. Can you come? And I would be like, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I can come. I can come. Until I realized one day that it couldn't possibly be, and I'm saying this, and I think you all know that, I think you know me well enough that I can say this. I came to realize one day it can't possibly be God's will for me to be at all those events. I certainly wouldn't be a part of Passion City. I'd be speaking somewhere else today. Because I got invited to speak somewhere else today. So all of us have to have this lens that says, I'm comfortable saying no here because I've already said yes here. And if somebody says, oh, I see you're too good for us now. Oh, I see you're too big to be a part of our little thing that we were doing. Or if some of your friends say, oh, I see we were all hanging out and then blah, 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 and now you don't hang out anymore. And all of us live in that tension somewhere. We have to be willing to be misunderstood. Not because we're trying to be misunderstood, but because we're trying to be faithful with the yes that God has put in our hands. And I'll tell you what that sounds like. It sounds like I would love to. This is if it's not the devil. If it's the devil, it's just no devil. And then you better have word to back it up. If it's your friend, you just have to be able to kindly say, I'd love to. But I can't. I'd love to, but no. I'd love to, but not this time. I'd love to, but I've already said yes to this. So if you don't have any yeses, you're stuck. You're making stuff up. You're lying to people. Oh, I'd love to, but I just got in with my orthodontist, and it's took us a month to get in, and I've got to head straight over there right now to have a pre-root canal investigation to see if anything might happen eventually. You're lying to people all day long. You're making stuff up. You feel conflicted. They know you're lying. Or you're saying yes to stuff you don't need to be saying yes to, and you're diluting the power and the influence of your mission in life because you're just free-floating out there on the sea. And the best no is the best yes. But the best no is a yes. I'd love to. I'd love to come and hang, but I've already said yes to Tuesday afternoons, creating a little window of margin so that I can think about X. So let's do it again on another time. That's the best no, because it's really all wrapped up in a yes. I'd love to come join you guys, but I'm actually training to run the Boston Marathon. So I've been trying to go to bed by 9:30 every night. And when you say that to people, they don't go, oh. Mr. Runner, they don't, and they also don't go, oh, come on, we're just going to have a couple beers. Come on, you can do it. It's 20-something miles, bro. It's not going to kill you. No, they go, I ain't running no Boston Marathon. I ain't running the Peachtree Road Race. I don't run. And that yes to the Boston Marathon, which is why you said no to almost practically everything else in your life for 3 months. A, it was worth it. When you finished that race, you didn't sit at the end of the race and go, I really missed those chocolate iced Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know. No, at the end of the Boston Marathon, you're like, this was a good yes to the 5,000 no's. I'm not sad about any of them because I just did something great. So I'll close with this question and then we're out. Last question. Is your yes, whatever it's going to be, we're kind of going back and forth, yeses and no's, but is your yes to whatever you're going to say yes to this afternoon, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, is it worth the no? And here's the way I like to say it. Whenever we say yes to something, there is less of us for something else. So make sure your yes is worth the less. Wow. That's great. So put it back around for me. I am going to say yes to going and preaching around the world, hands down. At least until the Lord says, don't do that anymore. I'm going to say yes to going to whether it's Sicily or Mexico City or whether it's Missouri. I'm going to say yes to going on the assignments God gives me. But they're all going to be filtered through the yes I've already said to our community at Passion City Church. And I'm going to say yes to some of them. I'm going to move on into some of them. But when I say yes, I already know if I say yes to Sicily, there's going to be less because there is no magic multiplication of time. So I have to get with the Lord and determine whether or not the yes is going to be worth the less. And then I can make a decision and say, there is going to be less. There's going to be less of me at our team. There's going to be less of me at home. There's going to be less of me able to say yes to something else later this year. There's going to be less of a lot of different things. But the less is definitely worth the yes of being in that moment at that time. So I'm going to say yes, understanding the less, knowing that just because I go to Sicily, I don't get 4 more extra days this month. And so every time we say yes, we have to realize that's going to leave less, and we've got to be happy that that less, whatever it was. So some of you men and women are going to travel this week, and you're going to miss your kids. But God's put a calling on your life. He's opened an opportunity for your life. He's made a way for you, and you have to sort that out. Yes, I'm going to miss my kids on Thursday. I'm going to miss Thursday. I can't get everybody to redo Thursday. I'm just going to miss Thursday, but the yes God called me to, me and my family believe is worth the less of not being there on Thursday, and I believe my God is bigger, that if I have my big yes to him on the table, everything in the end is going to work out. It's Jesus saying, why turn that rock into a loaf of bread when I'm going to turn a little boy's lunch into enough food to feed 5,000 people? It's saying, let me see. Let me think about it for a minute. I can either jump off the top of the temple and have angels come and catch me before I hit the ground. Wow, that'll be special. Or I can go down into the ground and have my Father call me up on Easter Sunday morning and have a stone rolled away and I come out alive from the dead. He said, let me see. I can bow down and worship you, devil. And I can get Galilee and Judea and the Middle East, maybe all the way to the Mediterranean. Or I can stay on my yes and sit down on my throne and have the authority to banish you into eternity and have every tribe and every nation and every language and every people bow down to something worth bowing down before and singing the anthem of heaven. I say yes to that.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thank you for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.